You're listening to Trinity Fremont's Sermon Podcast, where you can hear God's Word preached each and every week. Our purpose at Trinity is to learn, love, lead, to reflect the light of Jesus. We pray that as you listen to this week's sermon, you'll be encouraged and equipped to live your life in such a way that others would see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven.
Some of you may know something about former President Harry S. Truman. He had this little plaque on his desk, and it was kind of his motto. It's related to poker. Does anyone have any recollection that wasn't here at first service? Well, here's the picture. Maybe you don't quite see the plaque, but here it is. Circled in red. What does it say? Buck stops here. Now, in early poker, back in 100, when they played poker, like real poker, they had a knife. And the knife had a buckhorn handle. A buckhorn handle. And it was placed in front of the dealer, and they would take turns dealing. So you had the responsibility of dealing if the buck knife was passed to you. Now, sometimes maybe someone wasn't comfortable with dealing because there was responsibility with it, so they would pass the buck knife. So passing the buck eventually became a phrase that most of us, if not all of us, are familiar with, still used today. Here's the meaning: to evade responsibility or shift blame to another person, passing the buck. Now, of course, this is a far cry from President Truman's motto, "The buck stops here." A motto signifying that he accepted final responsibility for all of the decisions, and he would not pass them on to anyone else. If only Adam and Eve would have had such a motto. But they didn't. And here we are. Guilty, and yes, often still passing the buck. And it all started in the Garden of Eden, didn't it? Isaiah read it to us today. This passing the buck of guilt, of responsibility, Adam and Eve in paradise, the original paradise, passing the buck. The original paradise. A divinely planted garden, perfect harmony, abundance, most importantly, perfect communion with God, the paradise where Adam and Eve dwelt in total innocence. No sin, no pain, no suffering, and no death. It was a place of shalom. Complete peace and provision, shalom. Can you imagine? But then the fall, as read to us by Isaiah, God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, Adam and Eve hiding from God's presence now, hiding from his presence in the trees of the garden. Where are you? Asked the Lord. Adam saying, well, we heard you and we hid because we're naked. Well, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree in the middle of the garden that I told you not to eat? Well, it's not my fault, she. It's not my fault, he. Passing the buck. Here we are this morning, still passing the buck.
Hey, who made this mess?
Not me.
Are you sure?
Yep, I didn't do nothing.
Then how did flour get on your shirt and on the floor and everywhere? Mm-hmm. And who opened the bag?
See, it was him passing the buck. It's not my fault. Now, I don't have the mind of God, but in my human mind, if I attempted to put myself in the position of God in the garden on that fateful day, what would I have done? Paradise is lost. And it's not God's fault. It's not even Satan's fault. It's still hard to admit, but it's your fault. And it's my fault. You see, we're 100% sinners. We heard it in the song. Born into sin. Paradise is now lost. King David knew it. Being confronted by the prophet Nathan concerning his affair with Bathsheba, after basically murdering Bathsheba's husband Uriah by putting him in the front lines of the battlefield, the prophet Nathan comes to David shaking in his boots. A poor man who had a little lamb. And he and his family raised that little lamb, and the little lamb became a family pet. And then a rich, selfish man came along, killed, and ate that little lamb. By the end of Nathan telling David this story, David's anger was... He said, as the Lord lives, the man who has done this deserves to die. Deserves to die. David said it, deserves to die. Is this what Adam and Eve deserved? To die? After all, they brought sin into the world. It was their fault. What do you do if you're God? Paradise lost. Yes, that original paradise, Shalom, was lost. Why? Because we are guilty. And now our response? I suppose that depends. Depends on passing the buck or not. In the last few centuries, at least in America, instead of finding guilt in ourselves, studies show we tend to more and more project our guilt onto others. To me, that's quite interesting. It's probably true. Friends, we have lost the ability to repent. We continue to push guilt onto someone else. We have three cats. The last time we took our cats to the vet, our vet said, "Your cats are morbidly obese." Guess who's in charge of feeding the cats? But it's not my fault. I'm not the one who suggested Aubrey getting two new little kitties 10 years ago when we moved to Fremont. It's not my fault that Charlie eats so quickly and so much. It's not my fault that Purina doesn't make a diet cat food that all three cats like to eat. It's not my fault that Izzy meows all night until I feed her. It's not my fault. We tend to pass the buck a lot, don't we? Every day. Little ways here and there. We even do it to ourselves, pass the buck. Tomorrow. Tomorrow is the day that I will stop doing that one sin that I've promised God and promised myself to stop doing or stop saying, stop thinking, and then tomorrow comes. And I do it. Or I say it. I definitely think it. It's not my fault. Satan's fault. He is the one who keeps tempting me and testing me. It's God's fault. He is the one that allows Satan to keep doing it. It's not my fault. But it is my fault. And it is your fault. It was David's fault. Nathan told David after that story, "You are the man." Begs to question, doesn't it? Are you the man? Are you the woman? Are you the child? It's time to stop passing the buck, isn't it? What to do? Seems kind of hopeless. I'm guilty forever? You're guilty forever? Or so it seems at times in our lives when you just feel the guilt bear down on you? But friends, we have a creator and we have a redeemer of this world, of this fallen world, who will indeed have the last word on this guilty plea. King David understood. David, the adulterer, David, the murderer. He wrote a psalm. A psalm specifically about this time in his life. And he said, "For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Brought forth in iniquity. Conceived in sin. And still passing the buck. So where does the buck stop when it comes to guilt? Who finally is man enough? Who finally is God enough to stop passing the buck? Take all the sin upon himself. Give it to me, all of it. The buck stops here, right here at the cross. This is Lent. Lent isn't going to give something up. Lent is preparing to gain something. Gaining forgiveness. Gaining life. Gaining ultimately a new paradise. A paradise that will find you. This is what God does. He chooses you, he seeks you, he loves you all the way to the cross. Lent. He guides you, he strengthens you, he forgives you. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, and his name is Jesus. Yahweh saves. God incarnate who came to save you. The Old Testament, I am in the burning bush who became flesh to be your Savior. It's what God does. He saves, he forgives, he creates clean hearts, takes away guilt. You just have to ask. It's what David did in verses 10 to 12 of Psalm 51, which is actually one of our offertories in our hymn. It's also one of our hymns, hymn 956. Pull the hymnal out this morning. Turn to page or hymn or both, 956. It is here where David shows us how to ask. It's where David shows us what to ask. 956. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. And he will restore your joy, uphold you with his spirit. His Spirit, who speaks to you through his word, a word that forgives. His Spirit, who speaks to you and cleanses you, washes all of your guilt away in the waters of baptism. His Spirit, who will speak to you in his very body and his very blood, that will strengthen and preserve your faith. Goodbye, guilt. Hello, a new paradise. Hello, a joyful, everlasting salvation. Amen. Amen.